Folks, if you come here week after week and you don't have a right heart to give to the Lord, to honor Him from the first of your wealth, to take care of needs, you need to check your heart. You know we don't come here every week and talk about giving, but that's what this passage talks about. You need to check your heart. Is your relationship with Christ right?
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, for the past several weeks, we've been studying the book of Philippians, and today you'll wrap it up with what may be the most helpful message in this whole series.
You know, Dave, I think Philippians is one of those books that we as believers in Christ need to be frequently returning to in our personal study of the Scriptures. It is so full of practical, applicable, encouraging truth that hits us where we live every day. Indeed, a regular reading of these four short chapters will result in your life being changed on an ongoing basis. Now, today, the Apostle Paul puts an exclamation point on the entire book by reminding us that contentment is a fruit of a right relationship with Jesus Christ, the very one who enables us and strengthens us to do all the things He calls us to do. If you have a Bible handy, open it to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 14 through 23.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What about what was read earlier? Go to 2 Corinthians 9 and keep your fingers in that because we will go back there a little bit. 2 Corinthians 9. Let's look at verse 6. Now I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully also shall reap bountifully. Let each one do what he has purposed in his own heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you're chintzy with your giving to God, you're going to reap, in a sense, eternally. It's going to be chintzy. If you're gracious and bountiful, we'll see the principles here are God is going to overflowingly supply for you to give for more. He's going to supply for all your needs. Now, it's not a give-to-get scheme like on TBN, which is a lie. It's a right heart to give that God would be glorified and His people would be taken care of, and God will then reward eternally for that. How about Ephesians chapter 4:20? And I'll share this. You don't need to turn there. Basically, one of the reasons why God wants us to work is said here. Ephesians 4:28. Let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor. By the way, work is labor. Performing with his hands what is good in order that he may have something to share with him who is in need. Work so that you can share with those in need. This is for Christians. What about Proverbs 21, verse 25? Let's turn there. Proverbs 21, verse 25. And now as I share these verses, if you become, I feel like I have to do this now, then you're not hearing it rightly. It should free you up to have a right heart to graciously give as God leads righteously to what He leads. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 25. The desire of the sluggard puts him to death. And he says here, for his hands refuse to work. All day long he is craving. He just wants, 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 but doesn't do anything. While the righteous gives and does not hold back. The righteous gives and does not hold back. For the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more is it when he brings it with evil intent? 1 John chapter 3, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds a brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord from your wealth. Are you doing that, believer? Are you honoring him from your wealth? He says, and from the first of your produce. That means the first fruits you give to him. First of your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow. There's a principle that when you are concerned about the Lord and His honor and you're concerned about his people in the context of love, you're concerned about the ministry in the context of righteousness, God will take care of you. He will supply all your needs in Christ Jesus. I'm not talking about being foolish. He calls for us to work. He calls for us to provide for our families. But he also says honor with the first. And how does God feel about those who mess with the church concerning the issue of giving? How does he feel about the fake people who do it to be seen? How does he feel about them? He doesn't have a very good view of that. Turn to Acts chapter 5. God does not take too kindly to the one whose heart is evil in intent, who is trying to do it for outward purposes. We've had that here. We had to say no to millions of dollars, and we did, because the intent was wrong. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. And the context of this was people, by the Spirit of God, were just laying down their finances before the apostles' feet that they would give to those in need. That's the context, and that was happening. And somebody saw that and thought, there's kind of people seeing them do that. They looks like kind of a neat thing to do, because they're looking at us, right? Well, he says here in Acts 5, listen to what happens here. Acts 5, verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? This is a phony baloney giving deal here. They were giving to be seen. They still had control. It was bogus. He says here, why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard of it. And the young men arose and covered him, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter responded to her, tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. She had a chance to come clean, didn't she? And she said, yes, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Holy Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they shall carry you out as well. And she fell immediately at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead. And they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things. In the early church, the Lord didn't put up a sin there. He dealt with it as examples for us. We don't give for people to see. We don't give with the wrong motives. God didn't take too kindly to their false giving, did he? He struck them dead as an example. Folks, if you come here week after week and you don't have a right heart to give to the Lord, to honor him from the first of your wealth, to take care of needs, you need to check your heart. You know we don't come here every week and talk about giving, but that's what this passage talks about. You need to check your heart. Is your relationship with Christ right? Now, by and large, this church is very generous and very gracious, and I praise the Lord for that. But where's your heart? If you're giving simply for a tax write-off or to unload stuff that's in your garage, I remember someone who was here a long time ago who just unloaded the junk in their garage, and they came and said, why haven't I got my tax receipt yet? You know, and I'm like, oh, boy, you know. Give God your junk and then demand a receipt, okay? Not right. If you failed in your giving, if you felt compelled because your heart's not right with the Lord, confess that and get your heart right and then give for the right reasons. Don't go, well, my heart's not right, so I'm not going to give. Get your heart right. There are financial needs in the body and in the ministry. And if you close your heart to that, how can the love of Christ be in you? So back to what we see here. Paul wasn't driven by want back in Philippians. He didn't need the gift. But nevertheless, he said, Philippians, you've done well. You have done well. I want to give an exhortation here. I forgot to do this. Maybe God has caused you to come into great wealth. And God does that at times. He has made it clear in his word for me to instruct you. And so I'm going to instruct you. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm commanded to instruct you, so this is the time to do it. And by the way, even what we consider great wealth, by and large, those of us here who are just earning a regular living, we're really, really wealthy. We're really wealthy compared to this culture that's come up before us in the world. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. And this is a command to Timothy, and thus I take it as a command to me as a pastor teacher. It says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited. Don't think you did it. Don't think it's from you. God did it. Don't do that. Or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. Don't put your hope in the bank account. You got a big count. The numbers are big. Don't put your hope in that. But put your hope on God, who richly supplies us all things to enjoy. Isn't that gracious? Now, Paul said he learned how to be content with much and with little. And he says, instruct them to do good. Do good. That means use your finances to do good. That's the implication. To be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. And guess what? If you're doing that, you're storing up for yourself or themselves treasure of a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Be generous in the Lord. Trust in Him. Don't put your trust in the riches. Don't think you did it. You got there. It's God's graciousness. And enjoy it. He gives all good things to enjoy. But be generous and put that up in heaven rather than on earth. Store it up there. Now back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 17. He's going to clarify. He says, not that I seek the gift itself. Hey, I don't actually seek the actual gift. But I seek, and this is the right heart from the Apostle Paul, the profit which increases to your account. This is the mindset of those who are content in Christ. They don't need the gift. They're thankful, and they're just thankful, and they're looking at, what does this gift do in the spiritual scheme of things? When someone gives with the right heart, there is profit that is put to your eternal account. I seek that for you, he's saying. I seek that. I seek the eternal reward, in a sense, for you, that this gracious gift you have given for me that I don't need. I don't need it. I don't seek it. Did Paul care if he got a tax write-off? Not saying we're not good stewards. Be a good steward. But if that's your motivation alone, and that controls how you give, that's a problem. Okay? Paul sought the eternal reality for it. Not that I seek the gift itself, or then literally, but rather I seek for the profit which it increases to your account. The word profit means fruit. That it increases, superabounds more and more. God's equations are quite different, by the way. When we give, He abounds it, you know? It's quite amazing. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. What Paul is saying is that the Spirit-led, Christ-focused love for the brethren and the ministry manifest in giving brings spiritual increase. There's reward in heaven. I got a bunch of verses. I don't know if we have time for it, but there's reward. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. I'll read it for you. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. He says, they will pour it on your lap, for by your standard of measure, it'll be measured to you in return. Someone could be very poor and give a ton, and someone could be very rich and give a ton, but it's not a lot. It's where the heart's at. Give in good measure, pressed down, overflowing. Matthew 6, verse 2, we already read this. When you give alms, don't let the left hand know the right. It says you'll get your, if you do that, you want people to see it, you get your full reward on earth. But Matthew 16, verse 9 talks about where we have our treasure is, there your heart will be also. And God's going to reward you. So then, tremendous, wonderful situation. Paul doesn't seek the cash. He's content in Christ. He doesn't speak from want because he's content. But what he seeks is the profit or the fruit that it brings to their account. Superabounding. That's the right mindset of those who believe and understand Christ is sufficient. And notice, not only is he concerned for their eternal welfare, he's also concerned for their temporal welfare, the reality of what happens in this life. Look back at our passage, chapter 4, verse 17. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the profit for which it increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received everything from Epaphroditus, what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God and my God, shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He says, I've received everything from Epaphroditus, what you have sent. And you remember Epaphroditus traveled 1,600 miles to bring this gift to Paul. And he got sick and he almost died. Look at chapter 2. And Paul sent him back because he was so concerned for the Philippians who were so concerned for him. And then he says something about their gift, which is really amazing. He says, it is a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. This is what giving should be. The term fragrant aroma here in the Greek translation of the Old Testament is often translated pleasing aroma. It's used over and over again in Leviticus and Numbers. It speaks of God's response to a sacrifice offered rightly according to his provision. And here we know that that pointed to Christ, ultimately those sacrifices, and his perfect acceptable sacrifice. And here when you give, like they had given, Paul says it's a fragrant aroma. It's acceptable. It's an acceptable sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. By the way, it's a sacrifice to give. You could go spend it instead. Is it a sacrifice? Yes, it is. It is a sacrifice. You could use it for something else. He says it's acceptable. And he says it's well-pleasing. And by the way, there's no way to please God apart from faith. It's done in faith. Lord God, I'm trusting you to use this for your glory. Whatever you want me to give, I prompt my heart, Lord God. Help me to be generous like you want me to be. And guess what? God is really clear that he provides for those who are generous. He provides. We know that Christ's sacrifice was the same word, fragrant aroma. Chapter 5 of Ephesians. He gave himself up for us, offering and a sacrifice as a fragrant aroma. One of the reasons we have our offering, you can give any time, there's nothing, no restriction, anything like that in a sense for how God leads you, but we have our offering during the service is because it's worship. It's worship. It's part of our worship service. It's a sacrifice. It's a fragrant aroma. Acceptable to him. Well-pleasing. Well-pleasing. Proverbs 21:26. When the righteous gives, he does not hold back. 27. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with evil intent? Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will overflow with new wine. This is our last sermon in Philippians, so we're going to go a little late, but turn to Malachi chapter 3. See, the Apostle Paul, as you're turning there, makes the promise that when your heart's right in giving, God's going to supply your needs. Philippians, you gave out of your poverty. You gave for me. I didn't need it. I'm not seeking it. I seek what it does for you. You gave out of your poverty. You do well to share in affliction. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You trust the Lord and give by faith. God will take care of you. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have I robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. To test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor the vine in the fields cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Maybe your financial woes are because your finances are not his. Maybe you're not freely giving to him, and that's why you're where you're at. I don't know, but I know if we trust him, if our hearts are right, he says back in our passage, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. One last time, turn to 2 Corinthians, because when we give, one of the reasons we give is that God would be thanked and glorified. Verse 20 back in 2 Corinthians 9, but verse 20 in our passage, now the God and Father are to be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then look at our passage in 2 Corinthians 10. He says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and the increased of harvest of righteousness. Hey, you give, God will supply to give more. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality. That means giving freely. Who through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Gracious, Christ-centered, Spirit-led giving brings thankfulness to God. For the ministry of this service, not only in fully supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. But because of the proof given of the ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession to the gospel of Christ and the liberality of your contribution to them, while they also by prayer on your behalf yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. You caused them to give God glory because God used them to provide for your needs. He says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. God gave it all in Christ, and we should be ready to give what he has from us for his body. Back to our passage. God will supply your needs. Trust Him. Give as He leads. Be generous with a right heart, not because I told you to do it, not because the Word says so. Get your heart right from what the Word says. So then, verse 20, now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. May He get the glory. Don't seek to be provided for. Christ will provide for you. Think about others more important than yourself when it comes to finances. Think about it that way. So with that in mind, basically we've effectively finished Philippians, but there's some greetings in the end here. Let's just read through these. Verse 21, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Paul loved Christ and His people. The brethren who are with me greet you. Hey, they send their greetings. Verse 22, all the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. Praise the Lord. Paul shared the gospel and people got saved while he's in chains. And they are saying, greet the brothers and sisters. Don't tell Caesar, right? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Tremendous and wonderful book. We're done. So what can we learn from it today? Those who are content are not driven by want. Those who are content have learned the secret. We're empowered by Christ to do all things. And those who are content are more concerned for others than they are for themselves, as manifest in their giving in the body of Christ. We've seen the secret. So what about us? What about us? Where's your heart? All these things are a test for where your heart is. And if you're a true believer, God wants to weed out those things that are in the way so that you'd walk rightly with Him, that your heart would be right. And it's going to be manifest in your giving, just to be honest with you. It's going to be manifest. And it's my desire to see that whatever is given, however it's given, which I'm not going to see, but how it's given brings to your account eternally, that God is glorified and He is thanked and given the glory for everything. And maybe some of you aren't saved, as evidenced by the way you look at money. Use that as an understanding that you need salvation. Confess your sin and trust in Christ. Rely on Him. And when you come to faith in Him and He changes you and you want to give, He will supply all your needs through His glory and riches in Christ Jesus. You'll get taken care of. He'll take care of you.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, talk to us a little bit about developing a heart that is generous and gives to the needs of the body of Christ.
Dave, first of all, it's just that, when you're walking rightly with Christ, His Word dwelling richly, then you're going to manifest His character. And our God is a generous God who gave Himself for us. You know, when I focus on the reality of what Christ has done and I walk with Him, I'm going to be manifesting His heart that is generous and loving. And my finances will be focused on the things of Christ rather than simply meeting my own needs. And what are the things of Christ? Obviously, it's His church. Obviously, it's the ministry, the building up of the body of Christ. And within that, it's His people who are in need. I found when true believers are walking with the living God, with His Word dwelling richly, that they are generous, focused on those things of Christ. And I would ask you, is that where your heart is at? So, friend, the way you handle your finances is really a picture of what you love the most, whether it's God or money. And you can't love both at the same time. You cannot love God and mammon or money. And if you're walking with the Lord, you're going to have His heart. And you're going to see all that He has given you as His. And you're going to desire then to discerningly and righteously give to the things that are of Him. We have a gracious God who gave Himself for us. And as we walk with Him, His heart will be manifest in ours.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.